Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. This
joining us live now is our good friends Joe and Cindy Farini for another edition of My Marriage Matters. Thanks for coming back, you two.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you got a bit of a spicy one here. I think at some point, many couples have to address the issue of how many kids to have. And it sounds like someone asked you that recently.
Yes, actually. And I think, you know, we each came from a family of four, so it's easy to say, oh, we should have four kids. But I feel like every couple needs to make that determination for themselves. And furthermore, I feel like that is a great topic to have discussed before you're married. Even though you don't know when you're married, if God will only allow you to have one or maybe none, or maybe you'll think you want two or three and then you're really liking the whole thing and you'll think, well, maybe we'll have a bunch more. So I think we have to be going into this with our hands open to what the Lord wants for us to do, each couple individually.
So what do you do if you don't both change your minds as you move into marriage? We have a text that came in from Anonymous saying, what if the number changes for one of the spouses after the first one or two kiddos come along? The conversation pre-marriage was a number, but now that we have two, I'm done, but she still wants to have more. What do we do then?
Well, that's a really good question. And I think that's one, of course, you know, the easy answer would be just really pray about it. Pray about what God would have you to do. And let me give you a scripture verse to this person who texted that in, because it might make you think one way or the other, because this is really, I believe, in scripture where this whole idea comes from. And this comes from Psalm 127. And I'm going to read 3-5, but I want to concentrate on one other verse. It says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Now, when I was young, I remember asking my brother, who was into archery, I said, how many arrows fit into a quiver? And I thought for sure there was going to be an answer like, 3 or 5 or 10 or something like that. And he said, there's different size quivers and it all depends on what you're hunting for. And he didn't know why I was asking that question. But then I realized, you know, God is going to give each one of us something that we need to do in terms of our own family. And as you think of an arrow going out, you take out that arrow out of the quiver and you point it in a direction, you have to ask yourself the question, where is it going? And so the things that I thought of was, when you have a number of children, where are they going to be sent? As you have those children and you raise them as unto the Lord, where is God going to send them that you aren't going to go? What is their purpose? What is the distance or speed or purpose in that arrow for their life? And that's what I think we have to determine. What does God have for us in the training of our own children to send them out? And how many does he want us to have in order to accomplish what he has given us?
We had a text coming in from Anonymous that many times, sometimes what could happen, the number that was agreed upon before marriage can change as the years move along. And so you said you can pray about it if you have that situation. But what if you do pray and you still are in disagreement?
Right. Well, that's a great question. And clearly, we need to understand that, number one, that God designed a marriage relationship to be the priority relationship of the family, even over that parent-child relationship. And so I would say, in one way, in determining God's will for one's life, especially as a married couple, unless you are totally in agreement with something, the answer is you don't move forward. And so I would say to this couple that they need to keep praying about it and be in total agreement as to the direction that they need to be going. I mean, we've all heard those sad stories of people who said that their parents said that they were a mistake, that they didn't expect them. You know, and what does that, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
And so it's in that secure environment of that loving, unconditional loving care that parents can have for their children, that those children will grow up just fine. And so I would be concerned, not so much at this point, well, not only from the parents' perspective, but also for the child's perspective as well, that they need to understand right from the get-go that they were welcomed and loved by their both parents.
So,
yeah, I'd like to add one thing there, if I could. You know, I think just in looking back with Joe and I had Joey, and it was a very, very difficult labor that wound up being a C-section. And probably for 2 weeks after having him, I could hardly lift him or do anything. And I know it was a real taxing time for both of us. And actually, it continues. Joey's 38. He's with us, and he will always be with us. And when we had Christina, it was effortless. Everything went fine. And then I wanted to have one more. And Joe said, promise me if there's anything wrong, if anything goes wrong, that you won't ask me for more, because we just knew the difficulties we'd been through. And Kathleen was born 3.5 weeks early and wound up in the NICU for about 2 weeks. And I just remember thinking, well, I won't be asking for any more, you know.
But, so that felt pretty good to you when he said, okay, we'll have a third, but if something goes wrong, we can't do this again.
Well, I just felt like he was protecting me, is my point. I felt like he was watching over me. And, you know, just like when we discipline our children or tell them, don't do that, because we know in our head, if you do that, we know what's going to happen. I felt like he was not disciplining me, but protecting me like I might protect a child, but they don't know. They don't know what I'm protecting them from. And so this caller, I would say, you know, if your husband is walking with the Lord and he is a man of integrity, I would listen closely to what he has to say, not as a final thing, because you may still pray about it and continue to make a different decision, but to be able to say, my husband may be protecting me because the Lord is dealing with him in a certain way. So that's just one little sideline, and God deals with each one of us different. So that is not me telling this person what to do. I think we need to really be in tune to the Lord in each of our own lives. So, Brian, what were you going to ask?
Well, I was curious whether you and Joe did those kind of pre-marriage dreaming moments where you were like, oh, the perfect family would be X number of children. Did you talk about that much?
No, as you say, we both came from a family of four, and we thought maybe ideally that would be a number to shoot for, but it wasn't going to be something that really consumed our days thinking about it. It was just something that we took one step at a time, and as the Lord directed us, we took that next step. And, you know, everybody's looking to pursue God's will, and that God's will is not a book. You know, it's a scroll, and he unrolls a little bit at a time. And so we need to be mindful of that and just be, you know, pursuing his will for our lives. And so I'm thankful that I have a wife that is willing to talk about these things and discuss, you know, what is God's best for us at this time. And, you know, we have very dear friends who, when we were just early married couples, I asked, they already had four children. I said, how many children do you plan to have? And she said, as many as God wants to give me. Mm. And I thought, well, that's such a nice answer, but it certainly is not one I'm thinking of pursuing at this point. But, you know, that was fine for them.
Yeah.
And I meant, you know, they did not have any birth control. They didn't try to have any birth control efforts. And I thought that, you know, God bless you. If that's what God's calling you both to do, then go for it. But it's something that you both have to be in agreement. I mean, as you know, God is not a God of confusion. And so there will come a point where you both will have to, you'll come to a point of agreement on this one.
Right. Now, Cindy, as you pointed out, the Bible is very clear about children being a blessing and lots of children being a blessing. So what would you say to a couple who maybe doesn't want to have kids?
I'm going to have Joe read this one, but I have just a great little quote that I use when I speak. Joe, you want to read that?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, it's one thing to, you know, not be able to have children, but it's another entirely different thing if you won't have children. And a few years ago, we found this article in the Chicago Tribune, actually, and it was an editorial that said the following. It said, quote, my husband and I are trying to decide whether or not to have a dog or a child. We haven't decided if we should ruin our carpets or ruin our lives. And I think we would agree that that's a very sad statement to have.
Oh. Yeah.
But I think, you know, here's a couple that really needs to kind of work through some major issues. in their marriage. And I think, you know, for us to counsel them and say that you need to really pursue having at least two children would be a total mistake on our part to counsel them in that direction.
Yeah, and I really feel when with this society right now, animals are really important, and people love their animals, which I think is fine. But if your goal is to have just animals, not children, maybe it's because you can't do children. And I would be really, I guess, remiss to say, why would you bring children into this world if you don't want any and you're not going to be a good parent? That saddens me. That whole quote saddens me to think that that's where so many people are these days.
However, though, I mean, in fairness, I suppose, kids, like Sarah and I having kids, changed our lives beyond recognition almost. Mm-hmm. But not in a bad mm-hmm. way. It didn't ruin my life. It just dramatically changed it. So what do you say to the couple fearful of the change that children bring?
Well, first of all, when you have a child, you have to learn how selfish you are, and they're going to keep you up all night. They're going to demand a lot of you throughout their whole life, and even after they're 18 and out of the home, even though I know some people who say, hey, you're 18, you're done, you're out. But you know, that was never our philosophy over here. But children require a lot of time, and if you don't want to put that time into it, then I'm not so sure you should. Yeah. I think that there's devastation to families when people know they're not wanted or loved. And that was never going to be something in our family. And, you know, if we would have had more children, let's just say one was a surprise, I don't think I would ever say you were a surprise. I think I would probably just never say that, just how much we love you, because I think that's devastating. It's like a parent telling a kid, which one's my favorite.
Right.
Yeah, Janelle does that all the time.
They're all my favorites. Reyna is my favorite 8-year-old. Nia is my favorite 6-year-old.
There you go.
Absolutely. That is so good, Janelle. And that's what I tell my kids. I whisper in their ears, and I whisper in my son-in-law's ears. I go, you're my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they all know I do it. But mm-hmm. the point really is, you know, how are we loving them, and how are we loving them well? So to the people who don't want to have children, I just would say to be praying about that. But certainly putting the pressure on someone to have a child, I think, could be quite devastating.
Yeah.
But also to the one who can't have children, I would encourage them to read chapter 54, the beginning of Isaiah, where it says, shout for joy, O barren one, you who have born no child, break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed, for the sons of the desolate will be more than numerous than the sons of women. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out the curtains of your dwelling, spare not, lengthen your cords and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations, and they will resettle the desolate cities. So those who have no children have a big job. Open your tents, open your home, stretch it out, open it so wide that you can bring more people into your home, whether it's maybe adoption, maybe it's just your neighbor whose parents aren't that great. Just welcome them in loving ways. So there's a job for each one of us, whether or not we have children.
Great point. Again, Joe and Cindy Farini with My Marriage Matters. Any final thoughts for us on this topic of deciding how many kids to have?
Well, I would say that we need to keep in mind that good parenting is a byproduct of a good marriage. And so if whatever that decision is, that how many children you have, you need to understand that the focal point of that family needs to be on that marriage. And if that marriage is growing and there's a nurturing, interdependent relationship between mom and dad, you know, God will open the doors if he desires you to have children. So that's the last note I would make here today.
Okay. And Cindy, how can folks reach out to you if they have a topic idea or are just looking for some resources on being a family that loves Jesus?
Well, it would be great if they would go to the Facebook page, My Marriage Matters. They can ask their questions there. Or if they would like to go to our website, joefarini.com or cindyfarini.com, they can privately email us there directly. We're really good about getting back with them, and we'll answer their question whether or not it gets on the air.
There you go. Thanks so much, Joe and Cindy. I always love hanging with you. We'll talk to you next time, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.